Good afternoon, Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Rain is falling across the eastern half of the Dakotas into western portions of Minnesota. Stations on the North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network website are reporting anywhere from a trace to over half an inch of rain so far. Aberdeen-based National Weather Service meteorologist Ryan Leake says those totals do increase further south.
So we are in the middle of this system right now. It's a pretty slow-moving area of low pressure. We have already had some reports of around an inch of rain across central South Dakota, which is actually good news. They've been pretty dry through the year up to this point, so it's welcomed rain. That kind of slug of moisture and all that rain is pushing slowly to the east, and so we're expecting additional amounts of around an inch. Some places could see maybe an inch and a half, locally even a little bit more, across central and parts of northeastern South Dakota by the time this is all said and done, when the system moves to the east this evening and tonight.
Leake says this rain system is straightforward, slowly progressing throughout the day.
You know, once it winds down this evening, that'll pretty much be it this evening and tonight, depending on where you are. Yeah, it's slowly but surely moving. Temperatures are quite, chilly for this time of year. Today, with all that cloud cover and just some of the colder temperatures from the north that have moved down, so kind of another story to it, and that kind of a cooler air mass is really going to stick around even after this rain moves through for the rest of the week. We could be talking about later on in the week temperatures even dropping down to around freezing.
Well, up to an inch of rain is forecast for a large portion of the Midwest this week. Commodity Weather Group meteorologist Joel Widener says the next 2 days will be the wettest.
There is another little chance out on Friday as well for a similar system, but when you add it all up, quite a bit of the Dakotas, western Minnesota, down through Nebraska will all be seeing some shower activity. It looks like probably most of the totals that we'll get out of this and that swath would largely be kind of half inch to 1 inch, but there will be a few spots that do a little more than that.
Widener says the bigger concern is the cold temperatures over the next 10 days.
It does look like probably the strongest cold push will drop down around the end of this week, either Friday or Saturday mornings. And I do think that will probably push that freezing line down through most of the eastern Dakotas, might even get it down into a little bit of northeast Nebraska, and it looks like probably most of central and northern Iowa, too. So a very, very cold air mass and quite a bit stronger even than a lot of the guidance was suggesting back on Friday.
Ann Widener says the Dakotas could also see another push of cold air next week.
While fears of an escalating trade war with China are weighing on the grains, Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson thinks cold temperatures in the forecast are keeping some of the support under the market.
I think it's helping the wheat market a little bit here as well, because that has come back to trade steady to up a little bit here for a little bit this morning. But yeah, I think that is helping the corn market as, yeah, we're looking at another, the next 10 days below or normal or below normal temperatures, which that's not going to be conducive to get that corn to jump out of the ground. And it also should be somewhat supportive to soybeans. If they're not just getting planted and they're not out of the ground, it might make them kind of lay in dormant for a little while as well.
Even with all the negative news, the market has held above support levels.
It's impressive to see the market being able to hold like it is, but we do know that if once the USDA comes with their numbers for the production for 2020, some of that isn't going to look very pretty, and that might be enough to push this market under our support lines.
Bolt Marketing market analyst Dwayne Bossi also says while the grains are holding up, they are rather holding up to the negative news fairly well.
I don't know if we got positive news to go higher, but maybe we're exhausting the sellers down here at these cheaper prices, and that would kind of make sense. Also, some talk of some rains coming through, which is a good thing for most of the crop, but cold weather behind it. And, throughout the Midwest, great planting progress, right? But this will slow it down a little bit, the cold weather, especially up here in the northern plains. So maybe just a little bit of premium needs to be built in for that.
Fossey doesn't expect the freezing temperatures to impact the corn much, but it could do some damage to soybeans.
A lot of soybeans planted in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, you know, if those are even just cracked up, I mean, a frost would nip them pretty good. So we'll have to watch that. So I guess what I'm getting at is if corn or beans can find a bottom here this morning, you could see it grind up higher into the weekend as we watch those chilly temps roll in.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue has announced details for the $470 million in Section 32 food purchases. That's part of the COVID-19 assistance package. The dairy industry got the biggest share with $120 million. USDA will purchase $50 million, respectively, of potatoes and turkey products. A total of $30 million will be spent on pork purchases. The swine industry has suffered some of the biggest losses due to coronavirus plant closures, but that situation began after USDA determined the allocation for each commodity. These Section 32 food purchases will take place in the third quarter of this year and will be provided to food banks and other nutrition assistance programs.
The Small Business Administration is now accepting new economic injury disaster loan applications to provide relief for farms and ag businesses. During this new application window, only ag business applications will be accepted due to the limited funding and the huge number of applications that are being processed.
The USDA's weekly crop progress report will be released this afternoon. Traders are expecting corn planting to be 45% to 48% complete. If realized, this would be an increase of 18 to 21 percentage points from the week prior and higher than average. U.S. soybean plantings are expected at 16 to 18% complete across the country, a significant increase from the week prior and 1 year ago. Spring wheat planting is expected to be 22 to 25% complete, in line with 1 year ago. That report out at 3 o'clock today. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. USDA will release its weekly crop progress report at 3 o'clock Central Time today. National Ag Statistics Service Crops Branch Chief Lance Honig says the data is compiled from a variety of sources.
They're data-driven forecasts and estimates based on not only the current season, but historic relationships that we've seen. We're going to introduce farmer surveys into the equation. We're going to utilize information from FSA and RMA, and we're going to utilize satellite information as well at differing points in the season. And so when we talk about equal access, that's part of what we're talking about here, is that you know exactly when that information is going to be released, and everybody's going to get it at precisely that time.
Early season weeds are starting to emerge across North Dakota. NDSU Extension weed specialist Joe Eichley says lamb's quarters, wild buckwheat, kochia, and volunteer hemp are popping up. Another weed being found is causing some surprise.
Scouted a couple fields, found one in our research plots in Fargo. That water hemp is already actually up and going. And we had a couple pictures come in from the sugar beet co-ops as well. So that's a little earlier than we're kind of used to or expect with water hemp. But with all the water hemp production last year and not a whole lot of tillage done in the fall, it's, I guess, can't be too terribly surprising with the way water hemp can work in mysterious ways.
Eichley says through tillage, it can help manage the first flush of weeds.
You know, the one thing we want to avoid is kind of a quick one pass that doesn't really break down a bunch of those clods, because those early emergent weeds can survive on larger clods if we don't thoroughly till the soil. So, you know, if you do have only fields or water hemp is up and don't thoroughly till it, we may have some clumps of water hemp that still survive that operation, kind of reroot and continue to grow. So the good news, we still have a really good shot at the first flushes of weeds with tillage. Just have to make sure we do a good job there. And then getting that pre-herbicide on as close to planting as possible.
If a farmer has no-till practices, a good bird down program would be ideal to get a start on weed management.
The Smithfield Foods plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota is partially reopening today. It will be a phased-in start with a sanitation crew and the ground pork department. That plant has been closed for 2 weeks due to numerous cases of the coronavirus. The JBS pork plant in Worthington, Minnesota, is providing a euthanasia option for hogs that cannot be processed. It's not known when the plant will be fully functional. The Tyson beef plant in Dakota City, Nebraska, is also reopening after shutting down for deep cleaning.
And Tyson Foods CEO Noel White says the company wouldn't hesitate to close plants temporarily for deep cleaning whenever the need arises. The Defense Production Act, enacted by President Trump, allows meatpacking plants to remain open even when some state or local officials are calling for shutting them down to protect workers. Due to the slowdown in production caused by coronavirus, White says the company will likely accelerate its push to automate more fabrication jobs on the meat chain.
Even with an executive order in place for packing plants, South Dakota Farmers Union President Doug Somke says there will continue to be a backup for livestock.
We've got cattle that have backed up for the last 5 to 6 weeks and still don't have a price nor a place to go. We still don't have a good workforce that's not going to get sick. All this has been handled, in my opinion, very poorly. I think USDA should have been out in front of this, just like the health department was out in front of helping the health care people. The two things we know that we need is we need good health care and we need to have food. Without either one, your chances of life aren't very good.
Somke says cattle producers are trying to come up with a pricing mechanism fix.
One of the answers is to have a 30% of the price of cattle being across the country on a cash basis, and the packers not owning more than 14 days worth of cattle or livestock out ahead of slaughter. And if we get that, I mean, there's places in our country that they're not even getting 17% cash bid, and that's where the cash bid always starts every day, and so then we go up from there.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The leaders of the bipartisan Senate Rule Working Group are urging the Appropriations Committee to increase funding for economic development in rural communities. Minnesota Senator Tina Smith, South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, and Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer are the leaders of this working group. The lawmakers want more dollars for broadband, transportation, health care, and infrastructure.
Farmers enrolled 253 million acres in the Commodity Safety Net programs for 2019. From that total, 70% of the acres are in the price loss coverage program. For corn, there was a dramatic shift from the ARC county coverage in the 2014 Farm Bill to PLC in this sign-up. 76% of the base acres for corn are in PLC. Approximately 60% of the wheat acres are also in PLC. 80% of the 2019 soybean base acres were enrolled in the ARC county. Since farmers can't change their election now until 2022, those enrollment levels will be seen for the 2021 marketing year as well.
Sunflower prices remained relatively firm in the first few months of 2020, but have lost traction for the past 2 weeks. The National Sunflower Association reports new sun prices unchanged to up 40 cents. High oleic prices are unchanged to up 30 cents. New crop sunflower prices are unchanged to down 20 cents. Weather and planting progress are the biggest short-term question markets that remain for traders and will guide the market in the next week ahead.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, July Minneapolis wheat down 3/4 at 506. July Chicago wheat up 2 1/4 at 518 and 3/4. July Kansas City wheat up 3 1/2. July corn down 3 3/4 at 314 and 3/4. December corn down 3 1/4 at 333 1/2. July beans down 14 3/4 at 834 3/4. November beans down 12 at 843. June live cattle up 57 cents at 87.82. May feeder cattle up $1.32 at 119.15. May lean hogs up $4.62 at 67.50. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.